What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Business of Strength podcast. I'll be your host today, Dan Goodman, and I am joined by a special guest, Hank Ebeling, who owns H4 Training, two locations just outside of Chicago, Illinois. And Hank is somebody that has really become synonymous with the word customer service in a time where, you know, most gyms and fitness professionals are thinking more marketing, more spend, more influencer type content generation. Hank has really doubled down on the relationship building, the service development, and how he trains that onto his team. He's a wealth of knowledge. The show was fantastic. I took down a full page of notes and off the record booked him to actually do a guest presentation to our team. If you are somebody that needs to improve your retention rate, you want some fresh new ideas on how to exceed the expectation for your customers, you're going to love this episode with Hank. So without further ado, enjoy this episode with Hank Ebeling. Enjoy, everyone. Hank, welcome to the Business of Strength podcast. For the listeners that don't know you, please bring us up to speed, my man.
Yeah, hey, Dan, thanks for having me on the podcast. Big fan of the show. Something I always try to have in my rotation. So excited to be on, bring some value to you guys listening. Just a quick background, spent my whole life in fitness from my days in college in Las Vegas to where I am today, which is the owner of two small group personal training studios called H4 Training. We're just outside of Chicago in the suburbs, and we have an emphasis on small group, as I mentioned. And we are a 100% customer service driven gym. So now I've been in the industry, gosh, over 15 years and looking to grow. Speaker, author, and like I said, customer service lover, if you will. I always like to say customer service is my business superpower, and excited to share with this audience some really good tools, tips, and advice in that realm.
Absolutely. And we've been fans of yours for a while as well. We've hijacked some of your processes and systems that I'm sure we'll get into here today. So the feeling is mutual, and we're really excited to have you on because I know you will be a wealth of knowledge for customer service and all things small business for our listeners. You know, when you think about your brand in general, who were some of your mentors? Who were some of the people that you learned from? Because you see a lot of people that transcend from business ownership and then they become the salesperson or the marketing person or the finance person. But customer service, it's at the forefront of what we do because we are still dealing with human beings every single day. So how did that become your thing? Who were some of your influences, and, you know, why that?
Yeah, you know, it stems back to my days in college. I went to UNLV in Las Vegas, and Las Vegas is the city of hospitality, right? The hotels, the shows, you name it. It's a hospitality first city, of course, amongst many other things. And I worked at a place called Canyon Ranch Spas, a very well-known spots within the Venetian Hotel. And my first boss there was this English woman, like right out of the casting, you know, had the accent. She used to work on cruise ships. She was in hospitality her whole life. And like day one, I remember standing there where essentially people come in after they pay and use the gym. And just me, you know, college kid, if you're watching this as a video, with just bad posture, leaning up against the table. And she walked over and just kind of, you know, I don't want to say like gave it to me, but basically, hey, this is not how you do things. This is not how you, when people, you know, are facing you coming in, their first impression, this is not what we want. And she used to do things like, you know, be standing there with hands in your pocket. She'd walk by, go, oh, did you lose something? I'd say, I don't know what you mean. She go, are you looking for something? I go, I'm not following you. And she goes, well, why are your hands in your pockets? And I take them out real quick. And so always things like that, you know, arms crossed, she'd walk by, Man, it must be colder in here than I thought. You're like, what? Just these little snarky remarks, but yet she was trying to teach. And that really stuck with me on an early age when I was impressionable. Like, okay, this is important. And if you haven't been to Vegas, you haven't been to the Venetian, it's a higher end clientele. Caney Ranch Spa is a higher end clientele. So it got me early to say, okay, this is important, especially when you're dealing with that demographic. Fast forward into Equinox, my life at Equinox. Those of you listening familiar with the brand, pretty much most major city, it's a higher end gym. And started diving more into service because, as we all know in the industry, it's very competitive. Strength training, personal training, all of us coaches, it's hard to separate yourself with my workouts are better or this or that. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give way better service than the other coaches here. And that's going to be what's going to make me different. And that's kind of what I used. And then studied seminars, whatever I could do to find more ways to do that. And that's what kind of helped me get into the top 15 of Equinox. At one point, I think it was 1,500 trainers. I got up to about 12, 13. Just with production, and I was focusing on service. I think I was a pretty good trainer, but I wouldn't say I was the best trainer. But I would just deliver better than anyone else from a service standpoint. And that carried on to where I'm at today with my own gyms and just kind of putting that at the forefront.
That's awesome. And if you've been to Vegas or Miami or any of those LA, New York, Chicago, like learning hospitality at a hotel or a high-end restaurant, I don't know if there's a better place to learn it. So that's a cool tidbit that I didn't know. If somebody's listening to this, I want to make sure we don't skip over it. At Equinox, 1,500 trainers, we know that's a higher end brand. I'm sure the training sessions were good, but getting into the top one, less than 1% of the coaches there, how do you differentiate when you're working in another building in terms of service? Is it like, what are some tactical things that you can do? Is it, cleaning off somebody's mat? Is it bringing them water? Like, what are those things that if you could give a punch list of items of the tactical things that you did to improve service at a place like Equinox, what are some of those things, Hank?
Yeah, so if you're listening right now and you're like, hey, I work at a big box gym, and maybe you just work at a small gym, but you have that opportunity to create some separation between you and other coaches, it's really doing what others aren't doing, right? That's what creates the separation. So just to give you an example, the location of Equinox that I worked at in the heart of this city in Chicago, you had to go downstairs to get to the front desk. So the gym, the training floor was on the second level. So most of the trainers would sit around on the second level, wait for people to come to them, wait for them to go to the locker room, change, come out to the training floor, to the stretch tables. Bam, they'd kind of move into the session. Where I took the opposite approach, I would go down to the main floor. I'd be waiting at the front desk, greeting them right off the bat. Hey, what's going on? Bringing the energy, kind of seeing what their vibe was. So right then and there, I'm greeting you right when you walk in the door versus everyone else waiting for you. And then the second big thing was, yes, the training's important, but during the session, it was all about them, whatever they needed. Did they need a different type of workout for the day because of their mentality, what was going on with their body? But try to really make the session geared towards each individual. And that's a big thing with coaching, is not pushing your, sometimes people will call it workout puke onto someone else, but what do they want out of it? And it's that human psychology part of it. And then really the last thing was going back to what the other coaches aren't doing. Most coaches out there in those environment, I'm training Dan, I have him for this next hour, my hour is done with Dan, I'm not thinking about Dan, I'm not connecting with Dan until maybe next Thursday. That's kind of what happens with most coaches, right? Out of sight, out of mind. I'm gonna do the opposite. I'm gonna message you tomorrow, see how you're doing. I'm gonna send you the three post-workout smoothie recipes that I know you always ask about on Monday when I don't even see you. I'm gonna ask you how your son's, big baseball tournament went on Sunday, whatever the case may be. But I'm gonna just go above and beyond in terms of check-ins, reach outs, things that we do today in our own gym, but that you can easily do when you're just a solo trainer in a big gym, big box, small box. So just doing those little things that are just outside the realm of just your regular, all right, I got Dan from 9 to 10. I'm going to train him, move on. So just look for those small little things really start to add up. And the other one was, which I thought was real basic, but the holidays, I always gave everyone a handwritten card thanking them for their business. And probably wasn't the best policy, if they had heard me, but I would give them each a free session. I was like, all right, well, I don't know if Equinox knows about this, but I'm giving you a free session on me, just because that's my way of saying thanks for your continuous business, even though it wasn't my business, but it was my business. So just something small, but I'd handwrite those for how many people it was at the time, just to let them know that appreciation.
Yeah, that's awesome. Knowing that and like obviously having your book and listening to you on podcasts and things like that. Sometimes, and this has been me too in the past where I'm like, man, like that level of care and what we call give a shit factor, I'm like, is that an innate thing? Can that thing be trained? Can that want to and that care be trained? And obviously, now going from Equinox to two businesses, small group training businesses that you now own and operate, I know you have other coaches. So how have you instilled that level of TLC, if you will, into the people that work at your gym?
Yeah, so to answer your question, yes, everyone's going to have maybe a little more of a natural ability to be people centric. I mean, that's just the facts, right? Some people can jump higher, some people are better with people, some people are better speakers, whatever the case may be. So yes, when you hire, you want to look for those individuals that are people centric. Now, does that mean, oh, well, I'm never going to be able to train anyone to be like me? Well, that's not the case. They might not be at your level. But essentially what we're looking for is, it's called someone's service aptitude. Essentially, it's their ability to recognize circumstances like the ones I've talked about. Now, most people build this up from life experiences. Well, in our industry, a lot of our coaches are young. They haven't had many life experiences. They haven't bought a Porsche. They haven't stayed at a Ritz-Carlton. They haven't gone to these environments that are just oozing with service. So they probably don't have a life experience with high-level service. Then there's previous work experience. Well, if they're young, they might not have any, or they have some experience, but most businesses suck at this, right? They don't teach people how to deliver great service. So the final spot that they can really develop this is their current workplace, which is your gym, my gym, whoever's listening's gym. And that's where you come in. So that's where having the right hiring process to find the right people and then to onboard them properly can help you develop these type of individuals. Now they have to have some level of, ability, if you will, from the get-go. But honestly, you're gonna have, maybe a 10% of the population that they're just gonna be great with people. They're gonna naturally give great service. You could not onboard them whatsoever. You could not say two words to them, and they're just gonna be them, and they're gonna be great. And you'll probably have another small percentage that will just be terrible no matter what you do. You don't want those individuals. And then a big chunk, 70, 80% of people, they just need to be taught and helped understand what great service looks like. I like to call it superhero level service, but they need to be taught, hey, this is what standards look like. This is how you go about doing it. So again, that comes back to you and your business. You have to play that role and help teaching them that. And I think so many business owners, they blow by that in the onboard. I know in our industry, fitness, what do we spend so much time on with someone new? Hey, here's how you train a session. Here's how you coach a deadlift. Here's how you check someone in.
Totally.
Here's how you sell a membership. Here's how you run a cardio class. Here's how you do XYZ. It's very skill oriented, which is extremely important. But the service side of it is just not there, right? I'm sorry, it's very technical side, but we want to focus more on
Right.
the actual service side of things and put that first, because most of the people you're bringing on are probably really good at the other stuff, but
That's what
likely
they like.
Yeah, likely not where you want them to be from a service standpoint.
Right. And your experience at the Venetian, the woman that was your boss, she was training that onto you, probably not in a formal setting. So
Yes.
how have you taken that learning experience and how, like, what type of cadence, I'm curious for myself, what type of cadence do you keep to train and retrain the service expectation at the gym?
Yeah, so a couple things. It's top of mind, right? So it can't be, you know what, I hired Dan, I'm gonna blast him with some stuff from a service standpoint. We never talk about it again. Maybe we revisit it end of the year. That's a start, but it's gonna be tough, right? If it's not top of mind. So a couple things. It's right out of the gates in the onboard, as in like the first thing we're leading with is service, and that's examples of it that our team's already exhibiting, literally specific examples of this is what's taking place. Here's our expectations. Here's our service standards we have. And the most important thing is like, what's their role in this?
Right.
Everyone always wants to know what's their role. And then it's every team meeting. We lead the team meeting with our budget for surprise and delight, which we might get into a little bit
Yep.
later. We talk about great things our team have done, maybe things that we need to be doing better as of late. Once a month, we give out our customer service superhero champions belt. It looks
That's
like a
cool.
WWE belt. That's kind of like our employee of the month, but a little bit cooler because it's a champion belt, right? And
Is that a
it's
weekly meeting or a monthly
so we
meeting?
do a meeting every other week, so two
Okay.
times a month. Yep.
Got it. Cool. Cool. Awesome. That's
So
really awesome.
it's just putting it out there, right? It's so easy to talk again about deadlifts and bench press and all those things that are very important, but the service kind of gets swept under the rug or maybe just touched on when things are bad, but it needs to be a top of mind thing. As much as you can interact with your team, that's the emphasis.
Continuously trained. So now that you have two separate locations at H4 training, the bi-weekly meetings, are they done together? Are you doing site level in one location, site level in the other? Like, how are you, again, a selfish question for us, but how are you managing your energy when it comes to engaging your unit?
So our meetings are actually together.
Okay.
Our gyms are about 25 minutes apart, so it's not a huge distance. We trade back and forth to make it fair to everybody. So
Cool.
every other meeting, we go to the other location just to keep it, again, fair to whoever is coming from what direction. And then we like to be together. That way we can share ideas, bounce things off, give that acknowledgement to the coaches that have really stood out. So yeah, we
Cool.
like to keep it one big meeting.
Nice. So at our meetings, I know I made mention to it before, and it's a good segue to the next talking point. In our coaches' meetings, we run, defensive strategy that we took from you, the 3-2-1 messaging sequence. Can you explain to everyone, in your words, what that is and how it's applied in your team meetings or within the culture, at H4 amongst your team?
Yeah, so 3-2-1, just essentially a way to build relationships. I mean, goal of all businesses is to become relationship oriented, not transactional oriented. And it's an easy way to implement with your team, my managers. So essentially, it's this: if you can every week, if not every other week, I guess if not every third week, but ideally every week or every other week, you try to send out three emails. You try to hit two thank you cards, notes. We like to do postcards with our branding on it. And then one text or phone call. Most people seem to do best with text. So it's three emails, two notes, thank yous, postcards, one text, email. These are done with zero intention of sales, zero intention of, again, we got these supplements coming out. Hey, time to sign up again for this. It's pure intention of relationships and giving lots of love, giving applause. It might be checking in with somebody, but it has nothing to do with sales because then it has the total opposite effect of what this is, which is just trying to build relationships. It's trying to make connection points outside of the gym with somebody. We usually do it. It's a manager thing for our gym. But the part of it that we involve our team in is the postcard side of it. So we have those team meetings on there dishing out postcards, and I make everyone write at least one before the meeting starts. And then we start our meeting. So that way I know that everyone's doing it. Everyone can kind of, hey, Dan, who you writing to? Okay, I'm going to write to Bill. You're going to
have
write
ours now. I mean, we keep, I, you know, I go to everybody's desk here and just, I see they're running low on them. I just restock them. I have just thousands of these things laying around. It was, you know, this has been something that's, I've obviously supported with reading your stuff, but really got it from, I don't know if you've read the book, Blue Fishing by Steve Sims.
Oh yeah. Great, great guy.
And Giftology, like, it was just such a simple thing. And what's old is new, right? It's like people just don't do it anymore. So when you do it with no intention, that law of reciprocity, it works. You know, like, if you don't expect anything in return, you're just doing it because you want to give and improve somebody's day. It's amazing the chain reaction that starts happening back onto you. So it's really cool. And how does that kind of stimulate the surprise and delight and the discretionary spend that you touched upon earlier?
Yeah. So if everyone's familiar with Ritz-Carlton, I would hope so. Maybe not, even if you haven't stayed in one. They really perfected this. They're a high-end hotel chain, and they actually have a surprise and delight budget of, it's like $2,000, $2,500 per employee. Now, by no means can any of our gyms afford that. And if you can, your gym must be absolutely amazing. But you find a budget that your gym can do. For us, it's a low number. We do $250 a month. That could be really high for your gym. That could be low for your gym. We've kind of settled on that number. And a couple of things with it. One, you have to spend it every month. And it's not, you know what, let's just spend it on a dumbbell. We need some new RX pads. Let's buy some RX pads. It's 100% got to go to surprise and delight, and it has to be used that month. So that's number one. Number two, our entire team needs to know about it. They need to be looking for sequences like this. So what we do is in our team meetings, that's one of our first talking points. All right, everybody, we got our $250 budget. Give me some ideas. What's going on? What's happening? And our coaches will throw stuff out. Hey, it's Dan's, 25th wedding anniversary. So-and-so just PR'd on a lift. I mean, she's doing so amazing. We got to give her some love. So-and-so has been wearing the same shoes now for the last 3 years. Can we just get them shoes, please? Whatever it might be, our team's aware. They're constantly on the lookout, because if you're an owner, you're not in the gym 24/7.
Right.
You're not going to be able to find everything. So you need the team involved. And then last is just act on it. And it doesn't have to be monetary always. You got the budget, but sometimes it's as simple as, you know what, I'm going to spend an extra half hour at Dan post session. I just think he needs maybe the mental talk. Maybe he needs some help with some stretching for the hips, the hams. That has value, right? Now you might say that's not really surprise and delight, but it is. That's unexpected. They're not expecting that from you, to go out of your way and spend that extra time when you're not charging them. So it doesn't matter that it has to be a certain amount of money, but it does matter that it's consistent and you're doing it religiously over and over, not just like a once in a while type of a thing.
Absolutely. I mean, you look with marketing too. We talk all the time about marketing and how it's done. You market with time or money. Well, there's a couple different avenues to obtain new clients, and it's obviously outside your gym. And you, most people market with time, like time going to events, tabling, things like that, and money in the form of ads. Inside, you're doing the same thing where you're, in terms of internal marketing, you know, somebody might be like, oh, they're already a customer, but you obviously understand client lifetime value and the importance of keeping attrition rates lower. That, I mean, the lower the attrition rate, the higher the profit margin for everybody listening. So can you speak a little bit upon, you know, when you're in your team meetings, again, this is a self-serving question, but how much of the conversation is about who you have, the retention rates, attrition rates, as opposed to the external? Are your meetings very client-centric, exceeding the expectation for customers? And because of that, it really drives referrals and the retention rates stay awesome. Like, what are those meetings look like? What does the activity look like? What are your attrition rates like as a result?
It really is 100% about who's in the building and in our four walls and our meetings. And we try, before we even get to like in our meetings, we have to run through our upcoming workouts. We're small group training. Everyone's got to be on the same page on that. But before we get to that part, it's always what's going on with our current clients. Did we just bring in Dan? He's a new prospect. Okay, what's his deal? What's he's looking for? What's his expectation? How do we serve him to help him get the best experience and join? Our current clients, what are they looking for? Is there any issues with any current clients? Someone's kind of starting to be, we all know you get those clients on that fence where you're like, I'm feeling like they're fading a little bit. Something's going on. Okay, how can we, I'll say fix this, but how can we kind of wrap them back in, and maybe they're not getting the service they want? Any issues along the way? You know, probably, gosh, about 5 years ago, we had a really good client who was just not feeling our service was at the level it used to be. And she wrote to me and said, you know, I feel like things have slipped a little bit recently. I don't know if it's who I'm working with or what's going on, but I'm just not really happy anymore with the service that I'm getting, that I used to get. I just don't see the value. And someone obsessed with service, that, I mean, that hits you in the core worse than anything. And so brought it up to our team in a meeting. And I said, hey, you know, have you guys been feeling this way? And one of our coaches kind of was like, hey, I'll be honest, I think she's referencing me. I think, you know, I've had a lot going on the last couple of weeks. I think I've just kind of let things slip. He was honest about it. We talked about it as a team, and essentially ended up giving her a free month just to re-earn her business. And we did. And she's still with us to this day. But it's having those conversations within your team to avoid as many of those situations as possible, and to try to always stay ahead of, you know, what can we do? How can we avoid this? How can we get better? How can we make processes easier? So yeah, I'm going to probably say 95% centric with those people that are within our four walls.
Got it. Now, do you have a goal attrition rate in the business? What is the goal for the gyms?
You know what? And this might sound bad from a business standpoint, I don't really have a goal on that. For us, if we're losing any more than one person a month, then I'm irritated. And that might sound, some people like, what? Good, bad. If someone's leaving us because they're want to do yoga, what we do is not for them. Understand if someone's leaving because they're moving, which I'm sure a lot of us in the Midwest and Northeast are seeing a lot of that. Hey, nothing we can do about that. If someone's leaving because they're not happy with their training, and most importantly, not happy with our service, that's a problem. Right. So, you know, I always like to say, for the most part, anyone that's leaving us, it's usually from one of those first reasons that I mentioned. So, you know, that's the thing. Not a particular number. I'm just always looking at, you know, why are people leaving? And, you know, if start to see an issue, if we never have, then it becomes a problem.
Right. What about if you get somebody that's just like, hey, this is just out of my budget, or this is just it's a price issue? Because a lot of people will say that doesn't mean it's the truth, but how would you handle a situation like that?
Yeah, I'm guessing you guys are the same way as many of you listening. Hopefully, if you have a higher priced facility, you're going to understand that not everyone's going to be able to afford you, as much as we like to think, I'm just, you know, I'm going to beat them over the head and eventually they'll just pay for it. But if it is out of budget, honestly, we like to be honest with people. Hey, you know, for the level of service we provide, our small group environment, it's not going to be for everybody. It's not going to be in everyone's budget. Our clients pay a premium for a premium service. If that's not, you know, within your budget or what you're looking for, totally understand. Maybe we'll be down the road. So I try to spin it from that direction. it might just not be for them. Now, of course, you try to uncover sometimes underlying things in there, right? They're not happy with maybe your level of service. They just got a divorce. There could be things going on underneath. But to me, it's not trying to fight someone who maybe it really isn't the right fit.
So speaking of right fit, this question was presented this past week and I had to give advice on it. But have you ever had to fire a client? I know we have a few times, and sometimes it goes gracefully and sometimes not, but there are instances in a gym where somebody's attitude on the training floor can absolutely spoil it for others in a small group training environment. Have you ever had to fire a client?
So luckily, no. Now we have had some people leave on their own, maybe not because, again, they weren't happy with what we were doing. They just kind of realized, like, this might not be the right fit for me. I thought it was. Maybe I'm more of a one-on-one. Maybe I need this or that. There's been a couple times where we've had to chat with somebody that, hey, is this the right fit? Maybe you need to go here or do this, but not really necessarily had to fire somebody from a spot. But to me, it would be 100% about just being upfront and honest with them and making it about them, not like, you can't do this. This isn't going to work for you. It would be more along the lines of, hey, you know what, Dan, you've been doing really well. I think for what you want and what you're trying to achieve, I think insert whatever, yoga, Pilates, one-on-one, you name it, might be the best fit for you. I think that would honestly get you a faster result to what you're trying to do. So just spinning it, hey, I'm just looking out for you. I'm not telling you can't do something or you're not good at something. But I'm just looking out for you. And I think that's good because that's part of service, right? Is being honest with somebody. If something's not the right fit, not trying to jam them into what you do, or if they're not a right culture fit. We actually have people when they first come in, they sign our health history and all that, but then they sign a culture and policy form, which basically says, I'm not going to
That's
be a
cool.
you know what in your gym. And if I am, you'll be asked to leave. So we literally have them sign this. And it kind of is like a little ha ha part at the beginning. It's like, hey, Dan, this is our culture and policy. We're very service oriented here. It's all about the experience for our members. If for some reason, you don't end up fitting that mold, we might ask you to leave, unfortunately. And it's kind of like, ha ha, but I don't think that's going to be you. They sign it and we move on, but that's because we're serious about it.
That's
So
cool. I like
that's what
that.
we do.
I like that a lot. It comes up a lot as you're talking through things, because I know for myself, as a young strength professional coach, trainer, getting feedback sometimes it requires a level of humility to put it through the filter. And like the woman that you brought up before, she didn't want to leave. And had you handled that situation with some level of confrontation, she 100% would have left. And just even handling a situation with a disgruntled client, or you're disgruntled with a client, you could even hear how you're talking about it, approaching them with grace, making it all about them, because that's what they want, right? Like that's clearly what that person wants. So if you were giving advice to that 25-year-old strength pro and trainer, what advice would you give them to make them a more effective coach that had the ability to make money in this industry? We all see the statistics on the churn rate for personal trainers and coaches. It doesn't need to be that way. So if somebody's listening to this show that's 25 years old and they're getting advice, one piece of advice from you on how to build and create a sustainable career, what would be some of those pointers you'd give them?
Yeah, I would lead with what our theme has been, which is people, 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 relationships, relationships. One of my favorite books, I'm sure you've read it a million times, it's one of the best sellers of all time, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. It's a book that we gift all new hires because a lot of it is so basic, but it's principles we teach in our onboard because the stuff freaking works. It's relationships based, it's care based. And it's all under the same umbrella, which is it's not about you, it's about them. And I think in our industry particularly, we have a lot of people with egos. We have a lot of coaches who, hey, it's my workouts and my way and what I do is the best and I'm going to do it this way and you're going to follow what I do.
Totally.
It's a very I-centric. You got to take the other approach. It's not about you, and everybody you're going to deal with is going to be different. So I would just say, learn people's skills as much as you can, how people think, how people function, right? And don't make it about yourself. Anybody that you're going to be in front of, it's about that person at that time, whether it's for that half hour, hour session. You have to adjust to meet them where they are and what they want out of the experience, not what you want out of the experience. You're not paying yourself for the hour. So just become very heavily people centric. And if you haven't read that book, hey, I can't believe you haven't read that book, and read it again if you have, or go buy it if you haven't. A lot of those basic principles, I think, can do really great stuff for you.
Yeah, that's great advice. You take a 25-year-old, a lot of the people that can afford expensive training are 40 plus, a lot are. And even if you're training athletes, the people that are buying it are their parents that are 40 plus. And, you know, a lot of times a 25-year-old, it's hard for them to put themselves in the shoes and the thought and the headspace of somebody that's 40 plus. And we, as you said, try to put upon, like, this is our training plan, and it's through the lens of a 25-year-old, and the ability to have empathy from where somebody else is sitting and their perception of things, it's critical for your success.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the stuff too will stem from that is language. So what we'll teach our coaches, hey, this isn't like your lingo. This is not Dan and I talking on a Saturday, hanging out, watching like a game.
Totally.
Like, we talk a certain way to each other with our age group and friends group. This is now, yeah, you 25-year-old talking to a 50-year-old. Mm-hmm. You can't use your slang and lingo. A, they're going to be like, what the heck? And it's going to sound unprofessional. So you have to use language that makes sense, that, you know, is a service-based language, not just slang or things that just don't sound very professional. So that's a good thing you brought up, because that's a big part of it, is how you speak as well.
So for a 25-year-old that maybe can't afford to go experience a Ritz-Carlton, although you should, because you can go get a drink at any high-end hotel and just sit and evaluate and take things in and see how you're communicated with as soon as you walk in the door, what experiences would you suggest a young fitness professional go and enjoy? Is there a certain seminar? Is there, you know, I'm going to read How to Win Friends and Influence People. What do I do next? I have, you know, I've got some expendable money that I want to spend on education and on experiences. What are some things that I need to be focused on in order to become a better service professional?
Yeah, I would say you touched on it. It might not have the money, but they're going to probably spend it on some, right? So instead of spending it $300 on a seminar that you might go learn how to, you know, do a better power lift, deadlift, whatever, take that money and go treat your significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, to a really nice dinner. It might not be at, you know, this high end place, but maybe it's a little bit above where you might normally go. You're going to get a little better experience. Go experience a, might not be a Ritz-Carlton, but a very nice hotel for a weekend. Any of those little minor experiences will at least help you without breaking the bank. Just see the level of service. And the best thing you can do is get outside of your industry, because you don't want to just play in your industry and see what others are doing in yours, in our case, fitness, gym. Look at what others are doing, because we're not always competing against our industry. We're competing against the other experiences. So our customers, our clients, they're going to nice restaurants, they're going to these car dealerships, they're going on these vacations, staying at these resorts. They're getting these experiences all sorts of different places. They're measuring up your level of service and experience with those places. They probably don't belong to five other gyms. Maybe they go to a yoga place, Pilates place, but they're not belonging to 10 other gyms to compare to. they're comparing you to their other experiences. So you have to level up to get to those levels. Else, to them, they're going to say, when I go everywhere else, man, I'm getting such a high level of service. When I go to Dan's gym, it's so subpar. Like I'm better than that. I need, that doesn't match up with the rest of my life. So that's what you got to think about. So look at some other places that you can go outside of your industry and just use your whatever disposable income you have and try to use it on those type of experiences versus just going to a seminar that you maybe always go to.
Totally. And off the heels of that, if you're going to a new city, something that I still do to this day, I've done it for 15 years. Anytime I'm in a new city for whatever reason, I go check out a local gym because there's always little nuanced things, even if it's a health club that you'll see. This past year, speaking of Equinox, Joe and I had a travel credit to use because we had a trip out to Colorado Springs. That weather, we could never make it out because the flight got canceled and it was a disaster. And so we're like, you know what? Let's use this credit and go to an awesome hotel in New York City and check it out. So we chose the Equinox Hotel in New York City. And I
Right.
don't know if it's the first one, but it's definitely one of the only ones. Dude, it was incredible. Learned tremendous, like their evergreen referral policy and the big deal they were making about it all throughout the hotel. Was like, I've never seen anything like this. And we learned so much and had such a great time that we every year we do like a team BH day for our team, and we took them back to the Equinox Hotel. We didn't stay there because that would have cost with our team 15 grand for a night. But we went and we enjoyed drinks at the restaurant, and our whole team's like, dude, this, I've never seen a place like this. This is incredible. So, there's there's education everywhere if you're looking for it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's how you find great ideas is, I'll say steal, but borrowing it from other places and adopting it into, what you do and making it your own.
Totally. So I love asking people on the show this question because there's been the industry has changed so much in the last 5 years. And, you could say COVID has, COVID thinned the herd. And then on the heels of COVID, it's added all different kinds of fitness chains and brands and home fitness and AI and all this stuff. So being somebody that's been in the industry for a long time, where do you see the fitness industry going in the next 5 years? And really, what's your focus point in the next 5 years? Is it changing? What are you doubling down on? How are you going to continue to grow and thrive as a fitness professional over the course of the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think what you saw with COVID is what happened. Everyone said the death to brick and mortar. All of you that have brick and mortars, you're going out of business. It's going to be all online. Everybody become online trainers. They're going to have their Tonal at home. They're going to have all their stuff at home. You're done. Pack up your bags, right? We all heard that. But what did everyone come back to? They wanted community. They wanted connection, relationships. I don't see that changing, especially as AI and more things become more technologically advanced. There's less and less relationships, less and less interaction. So I think people still crave that as human beings. So I think having that place, your gym, become more and more community focused. I know for us, the last couple of years and moving forward, I'm continuously driving. How can we do more things where we're not just a gym? We're a community. We're a I want to say a social club, but having that type mindset, how can we have more events, more get-togethers, more whatever to create connection and to really just not be seen as that's where I go work out, but that's where I go to socialize. That's my place. That's my back in the day, local Y, we all go and hang out type of a thing. So I think community is still going to be a big thing. And I think personalization. You're seeing in every business, people want things my way. I want it this way. So, continuously finding ways to make things individualized, customized, even in a group environment, finding ways to not just make things generic, because everyone wants it their way, right? As we move forward. So, in my opinion, that's kind of what I'm thinking. But it seems like everything always comes back to dumbbells and kettlebells and you know, a good sweat, but that's kind of what I'd have to leave it at.
Yeah, I like that. So what does the future hold for you? I know we talked about growth. What does that growth plan look like for you specifically?
Yeah, so my second location, which is about 4 years and some change behind my first, it's just continuously getting that one up to speed, kind of to our levels of our original. And then potentially looking at other locations as we come out of COVID here a couple years later and kind of makes more sense. But just keep fine-tuning what we're doing and getting better from a coaching standpoint and an experience standpoint.
That's awesome. Well, Hank, I really appreciate you being on the Business of Strength podcast here. I took down a page of notes, and I'm definitely going to be pinging you offline, potentially to do an in-service for our team and helping us level up our customer service experience, because retention is something that really is on the forefront of our thought process here at Varsity House. But for the listeners that want to connect with you and engage with you, how can they do so?
Yeah, love to connect on social. Love to chat with fellow business owners, especially gym owners. Look me up, Hank Ebeling, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I know Dan's going to put all that info in the show notes, so I won't even leave it for you. You can find it there, or just type in my name. You'll see me there. Lots of great customer service driven stuff. Maybe some food stuff. I'm a foodie. And then if you have any interest, I got my book, Crushing the Competition with Service. It's on Amazon. Online course, superhero service, super profits. Dan will put it all in the show notes. But yeah, even if you just want to drop a DM and say, hey, love to connect.
Awesome. Well, Hank, thank you so much for being on the show. This is the Business of Strength, everyone. Peace out.